Praise God. Why don't you grab a seat? I wanted to continue this morning, if I can, with a little bit of a, well, it's a series that I begun actually back in March. I don't know if you remember, but I begun it and then promptly told you I was going away on holiday, and then it was Easter when I came back and a couple of weeks passed by. But I kicked off last time on the subject of humility and hunger. And so today is a somewhat delayed part two to that. But I wanted to focus today on specifically on the need to stay humble and to stay hungry. Now, if you've got your Bibles and you want to find your way to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, and we'll be diving in there in just a moment. But just to kind of lay some backdrop, set the scene to what's going on, I want us to take a look at the life of King Asa. King Asa was the king of Judah. And King Asa's story is told from 2 Chronicles chapter 14. His reign is told, the story of his reign is told from 2 Chronicles chapter 14 through to the end of 2 Chronicles chapter 16. I just encourage you in your own time to just go and read that. Just so that you know that I'm not telling you any fibs from the pulpit today. You can go and read that in your own time and journey through that. But for the benefit of time, I shall spare you three chapters this morning. But it's well worth the read. But chapters 14 to 15, they cover the opening 35 years of Asa's 41-year reign. So for a couple of chapters, we're given an insight into his opening 35 years. And in those opening 35 years, Asa saw God do some really remarkable things. And God used Asa in some really wonderful ways. I'll touch on some more of those in a moment. But they were incredible years. But as we cross into 2 Chronicles chapter 16, we begin to look at the last 6 years of King Asa's reign. And really, things begin to come a little undone. If you like, the wheels come off. And what we see in King Asa is a powerful example of why it is important that we stay humble and we stay hungry, that we maintain hunger and we maintain humility. And so 2 Chronicles 16, which is not a particularly long chapter, we'll just read through that if we can now. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and fortified Ramah to prevent anyone from leaving or entering the territory of Asa, king of Judah. Asa then took the silver and gold out of the treasuries of the Lord's temple and of his own palace and sent it to Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus. "Let there be a treaty between me and you," he said. Now, this was a pagan king. "Let there be a treaty between me and you," he said, "as there was between my father and your father. See, I am sending you silver and gold. Now break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so he will withdraw from me." Ben-Hadad agreed with King Asa. He took the money, took the bribe, and sent the commanders of his forces against the towns of Israel. They conquered Ijon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and the store cities of Naphtali. When Baasha heard this, he stopped building Ramah and abandoned his work. Then King Asa brought all the men of Judah, and they carried away from Ramah the stones and timber Baasha had been using. And with them he built up Geba and Mizpah. At that time, Hanani, the seer, or the prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hands. Were not the Cushites and Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord," this is recounting a previous occasion, "he delivered them into your hands. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war." Asa was angry with the seer, with the man of God. Because of this, he was so enraged, he put him in prison. And at the same time, Asa brutally oppressed some of the people. The events of Asa's reign from beginning to end are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. Then in the 41st year of his reign, Asa died and rested with his fathers. They buried him in the tomb that he had cut out for himself in the city of David. They laid him on a bier covered with spices and various blended perfumes and made a huge fire in his honor. Friends, I want us to understand that I am more convinced than ever that humility and hunger are key to seeing God move. In our lives as individuals, that we need to be humble and we need to be hungry. And as a church, as a fellowship, we need to be humble before God and we need to be hungry for God. As we come into 2 Chronicles 16, something has changed. Something has happened because in the first two chapters of the story of Asa's reign, he is a really humble and hungry guy. They were kind of characteristics that were a real mark of this king. He was a man of humility and he was a man who was hungry for God. So in 2 Chronicles 14 verse 2, it says, from the outset of his reign, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord, his God. In 2 Chronicles 15 verse 17, it says this. It says, Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord. That word committed means to be faithful or loyal. Okay, you read his story, and as you read his story, you see the heart of a guy who says, I want to put God first. I want to put God first in my life. I want to put God first among our people. And so Asa sets about, and again you can read this, he sets about, he tears down every idol, he tears down every high place, he brings down false worship, he wants to cleanse the land of sin. And so even when it's at great personal cost to him, he sets about doing that. And he goes about doing that. And in 2 Chronicles 14 verse 4 in the Message version, it says this, he cleaned house and told Judah, the nation that he ruled, to center their lives on God. Okay, the verse you talk about, he commanded, we're going to seek God, we're going to follow God. This was a hungry guy. He was hungry for God, and he was relying on God as well, as we'll see in a moment. And Asa, effectively, he led a reformation in the land. He led a revival in the land. He sought to get rid of sin, called the nation to serve and follow God. But of course, along the way, whenever anyone sets themselves in the pursuit of God, there will always be challenges. When you get serious with God, challenges begin to come. I am not surprised the amount of buffeting that we have been going through as we're moving forward with God. But as you get serious, these things come. And Asa, King Asa, faces challenges. Most notably, the Bible says he faces an invasion of what the Bible calls a vast army. Okay, you can read that in 2 Chronicles 15 there, 14 and 15. There's an invasion of a vast army, a army which is naturally bigger and stronger than his. In fact, the odds, the Bible says, if you read through different versions, were this. King Asa's army, adding his two kind of companies together that he had, totaled 580,000. The army that came in against them totaled 1 million plus 300 chariots. Okay, so the odds is kind of like double, you know. He's kind of got somewhat an army roughly twice, just under twice the size of his. But 2 Chronicles 14:11 says this, in the face of that, what did Asa do? Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is none like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, Lord our God, for we rely on you. And in your name we have come against this vast army. Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere mortals prevail against you. We rely on you. Can you see what's different between 2 Chronicles 14 and 15? And now as we've crossed into 2 Chronicles 16, because Hanani comes to him and says, before you took up this place of Lord, we rely on you. But Asa, what has happened? Because you've gone from this dependency upon God to begin to say, I'm going to rely on myself. I'm going to rely on natural strength. I'm going to rely on human resources. And I'm going to rely on others around me. And Hanani's like, Asa, what has happened? The last time when you were in this position of facing a war was so different. You said, for we rely on God. And that little phrase, we rely on you, for me, captures something of what the heart of what humility really is. Because Andrew Murray, the well-known author, not the tennis player, the well-known author said this. He said, humility is the place of entire dependence on God. In other words, when you break it down, it's simply this. It's an awareness of how much I need God. It's an awareness. God, I can't do this in my own energy and strength. I can do something in my own energy and strength, and we'll see that's true in this story as well. But God, I really need you. It's just an awareness of God. I need to put my trust in you. I need to put my faith in you. I need to let my hope rest on you, that you're the solution, that you're the way, that you're the answer, that God, you're going to move in this situation. And Asa was a man who lived with that type of humility. And so he takes up this humble position and he prays this humble prayer. And God does it works just what can only be described as a stunning victory. Because against all the odds, the Bible says the 1 million kind of army with charioteers that was bigger and stronger, it says in the Bible, were crushed. Because one man said, I am depending on God in this circumstance. I've got an army, but my faith and my trust is not in my army. My faith and my trust are in you, Lord. And that is a position, my friends, of humility. It's depending on God. And so Asa, really, his reign is remarkable because Judah enjoyed 35 years of peace, rest, and strength, which in days that were just littered with war upon war upon war was something remarkable. Was something remarkable to enjoy 35 years of peace under this king. God was with him. Asa gave God all the credit. God was with him. God blessed him. God protected him, prospered him, because Asa's life was marked by humility and hunger. Now, Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12 gives us an insight into why that might just be. Because Jesus says this, everyone who exalts themselves will be humbled, and who humbles themselves will be exalted. Matthew 23, verse 12. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. See, just like there's a law of gravity, I believe there's a law of pride and a law of humility, and it's this. The law of pride, I believe, is this. What goes up must come down. The law of humility is what goes down must come up. You see, the more we're prepared, the lower we're prepared to go, the more we're prepared to move into a place of dependency and awareness of our need of God, of our need of Jesus Christ, the lower we go, the more is going to happen. Jesus said, if you're proud, if you're exalting yourself, you're going to get brought down a peg or two. But if you're prepared to go low, just see what I'm going to do. See, Isaiah 66, verse 2, these are the ones God speaking, I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. The Message version says, there is something I am looking for. God says, there's something I'm looking for. God's favor hunts out humility. God's favor hunts out the humble and the hungry. You'll remember last time that well-known scripture from James 4, verse 6. God resists, which means to oppose. God resists or opposes the proud, but gives what? He gives grace to the humble. So when there's a pride, there's an opposition towards that from God. But when God is hunting out where there's humility and where there's hunger, God says, where I find humility and where I find hunger, there is where I'm going to release my favor. That's where I'm going to release my grace upon the humble and upon the hungry. So God's humility releases God's favor and grace upon our lives, upon our families, upon our church, upon our ministries, if you're involved in them. The story is told of one of Charles Spurgeon's students. Charles Spurgeon, if you don't know who he was considered to be the prince of preachers. Okay, God used this guy in a phenomenal way, in a wonderful way. And the story is told of one of his students who went into a church pulpit with every expression of confidence, but had an extremely difficult time. He came down distressed and almost broken-hearted, and he went to Spurgeon about it. And Spurgeon's words of advice were these: if you had gone up as you came down, you would have come down as you'd gone up. See, Asa's story really teaches us how the first point I want you to really grasp is that, really. Asa's story teaches us how dangerous it can be when our humility and hunger fade. It's the first thing I want us just to take away today. Because when Asa's faced this time with war, a situation he's been in before, he handles it in a totally different fashion. His humility and hunger had faded. Hanani says, you're relying on the king. You're relying on Ben-Hadad. You're relying on human energy. You're relying on strength. Your humility and your hunger had faded. Before, Asa had been a man of prayer, a man who trusted and depended upon God. Now he's taking silver and gold from the treasures of the temple to bribe off a pagan king to help him protect him. And there's this kind of brief honeymoon period where it seems like everything's kind of going pretty well. And it doesn't matter too much because actually the building of that city, which the whole purpose of why that city was being built there at Ramah was basically to control the access in and out of Asa's kingdom. Trade, everything like that. It was effectively barricading them in to have complete control over them. And it seems like all has gone well because in verse 5 to 6 it says they pack up the work, they clear off and abandon it, and Asa moves in with all his men and they carry away everything and they go off and they build another couple of places with all the resources and materials that they've just taken away. And you kind of think to yourself, Asa might have thought to himself, job well done. Everyone's a winner. And I think it's kind of interesting that as I kind of mused upon that, how sometimes what can happen is when we make decisions in our own strength, and there can be this slight period where we think, actually, I think that's gone all right. I think that's kind of figuring out. I think, actually, if you'd have asked King Asa at the time, you know, he said, nothing's wrong here. I didn't need to bring God in on this one. Look, it's worked out. It's kind of okay. But it didn't last. The wheels begin to come off. See, the truth is this. What we achieve in our own strength will never compare to what humility and hunger before God will achieve. Because Hanani comes to him, he says, you have done a foolish thing. He says, you've done a foolish, you think this is okay. And for a little period, Hanani says, this is what I needed. This has made me happy. This is what I wanted. And sometimes people, they turn away from God. They don't trust in God. They make a decision. They move into something that they think is a solution. They go, this is making me happy. This is what I wanted. This is what I needed. And Hanani comes and says, oh, Asa, the wheels are going to come off. The wheels are coming off. And he says, so you've done a foolish thing, because he says this. He says, if I can find it. From now on, you will be at war. You see, before, humility and hunger had released blessing and breakthrough and 35 years of peace and rest and strength. But when humility and hunger faded, when trust and dependence and prayer faded, Asa's peace went and war walked in. The peace walked out of the door and war walked in through the door. And it's like Asa's life felt like it became one battle after the next. Friends, I cannot tell you, I plead with you, how many people I've seen turn away from God and life just begins like one battle after the next. You know, when they're in a place of peace and God was doing good things in their life, they think, this is what I need, this is a solution, and they pursue it. And peace walks out the door and it's like striving and everything walks in through the door. Message version says that there's one round of war after another now. Wow, our life had changed. See, the second thing I want us to understand is this. Hunger and humility releases God's best. Tried to get my second point together without it rhyming, but I couldn't find a way around it. Okay, so it's not me trying to be slick. I just couldn't think how else to say it without it rhyming, okay? So here it is. It might stay in your head. Humility and hunger releases God's best, but when they fade, we settle for less. Okay, I sat there for ages at my computer thinking they're going to think he's a right show-off doing that one. I couldn't get it together, all right? Humility and hunger releases God's best, but when they fade, we settle for less. See, as I read this story, as God was speaking to me a few weeks ago and I read through this story, it was verse 7. It was verse 7 when, as I read verse 7, it was just like, and I just felt God speak right into my heart. And this is what it says. It says, at that time, Hanani the seer came to King Asa of Judah and said to him, because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, it was this phrase here, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Okay, so God says to Asa through Hanani, if you'd have waited for me in this situation, if you'd have trusted me in this situation, I'd have not only protected you from Baasha, king of Israel, I would have given the Syrian army into your hands. In other words, the message is this, if you'd have hung in and waited, stayed humble, stayed hungry, and trusted me, you would have seen me do so much more than you're now settling for. Does that make sense? And as I read it, I heard God say this to me. And friends, it hit me, it shocked me in my own personal life to really make me wake up and think, I am searching my heart about how are the levels of humility and hunger in my own life. you know, how much when I come to prepare a sermon, how much am I relying on kind of getting this sermon, and how much am I just relying on just saying, God, I just need you to come. You can get so wrapped up in the preparation of it and how it's going to sound and what it's going to say and, you know, and all, everything like that. Can that sometimes be to the detriment where we need to be on our face more before God, just going, God, I need you. God, I need you to show up in this situation. God, I need you to break through in that situation. Some of you have got issues and battles that you're facing right now. You're busting yourself to try and find ways through it. What can I do? How can I resolve this? What do I need to say? How do I, well, maybe if I speak to that person and I change this and tweak that, maybe it'll be the answer. Friends, the best thing you can do is just get on your face and say, God, I need you. God, I need you. God, you've got to show up in this. Sure, in your own strength, you'll achieve something. Like Hannah and I did, but what Hannah and I settled for was far less than God's best. Because God said, I would have done so much more. There's this like temporary happiness that he enjoys, this temporary level of success, but God says, I'd have done something greater. Friends, I just want to encourage you this morning, if you're going through a tough one, hang in there. Stay humble and stay hungry, because otherwise you'll end up forfeiting God's best, and I want God's best for you. And you know, even more than that, I'll tell you this much, Jesus Christ wants God's best for you. Very best. Where was I? This is what I felt God say. My blessings and answers escape you. They slip through your hands when humility and hunger fades. That's what I said. It has escaped your hand. Friends, I don't want God's blessings to escape me. I don't want God's answers that he has lined up. Because God says, I had an answer lined up. I had a solution lined up. I was protecting you and I was giving you a Syrian army, but you broke out in your own energy and strength and it slipped through your hands. I don't want God's best for us as individuals, for you, for me, or for us as a church to slip through our hands. I don't want it to escape us. And that's why it is so important that we stay humble and we stay hungry. But when humility and hunger fades, we get drawn away towards other things that lead us away from God's best. Things begin to escape us, they slip through our hands, and we settle for less than God intended for us to have. And all of a sudden, Asa is now drawn towards things that before he had never even looked at. Before, when he was humble and hungry before God, his first thought was, I've got to pray. I've got to get on my face. But when his humility and his hunger is fading, all of a sudden he's seeing other solutions and they look good and they look attractive and they look like quick fixes. And Asa thinks to himself, here's a solution. This is what I need. But there was no peace in any of them decisions. They didn't last. They didn't really bring him what he was looking for. In fact, they brought him war. I find it interesting how when our eyes are off God, we end up looking at things that we think are solutions, but often they end up becoming problems. That's the solution. That's the answer. That's what I want. That's what I need. And we think, oh, that's a quick fix. It's there. I'll go for that. And what we think is a solution, we enjoy this honeymoon period of happiness, and it thinks like it's going to figure out. And then all of a sudden, a solution turns into a problem. He's just saying, hey, Hanani says, if you'd wait for God, it had been better than this. Verse 8, he says, look what happened before. Humility and hunger brought God's blessing and stunning victory and stunning breakthrough into your hand. But now pride is breaking in and stuff's escaping you and slipping through your hand. The Message version says of verse 9, you were foolish to go for human help when you could have had God's help. We don't want to try and do stuff in our own energy and our own strength. We don't want to forfeit what God's best is for us. We need to stay humble. We need to stay hungry. We need to stay trust in God. We need to stay in a place which just said, I'm so aware of my need of you, God. I'm so aware of how much I need you to move in my life, in this church, in this situation, that you're the answer, that I'm not. Because verse 9 says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And that word committed in the Hebrew for Bryn, that word committed means, it can mean this. It means keeping covenant relations. Wow. So it means this. God says, I'm looking for where there's strong covenant relationship with me. And God says, I'm seeking out where I find a strong relationship. I promise you this, I'm going to show up right there. You see, when it all breaks down to it, friends, it's our relationship with God that's at the heart of everything. God is saying, I'm looking around. If you want to see my grace, you want to see my favor, you want to see me show myself strong in that situation, you want to see my power at work, then God says, listen, my eyes are going up and down this earth. I'm looking for whose heart is committed to me. I'm looking for who's saying, I'm keeping strong covenant relationship with God. I'm living in humility and hunger. I'm depending and trusting on God. And God says this, I want you to know I'm on the lookout for those kind of people. So if God can find those kind of people here, and if God can find a church who lives in that place, then all I know, according to the promise of Scripture, is this, that God is going to show up and show himself strong. Because he's not a man who should lie. So if we want him to show himself strong in our circumstance, trust him, depend on him, lean on him. And you see that first time around when Asa saw a stunning victory after that first battle, a man of God, a prophet, brought a word to him and he said this to him. Asa, know this. You can read it in 2 Chronicles 15 verse 1. The Lord is with you when you are with him. When your covenant relation are strong, you're going to see God work. And John Piper says this of 2 Chronicles 16. No doubt Asa still had "In God We Trust" on his coins, and no doubt he still went to Sabbath services at the temple. But God was gone out of his life as a moment-by-moment, loved and trusted reality. Trusting in God, relying on God, and hoping in God were not part of his life anymore. Oh, I'm still doing all the same things, but that moment-by-moment, loved and trusted reality had gone. And Hanani comes to show Asa that, and Asa gets angry, and Asa gets frustrated. And you know, sometimes we get frustrated with God. God, why aren't you showing up in this? God, why aren't you answering this prayer? God, why aren't you doing that? And actually, do you know, if we just take a step back and just ask ourselves, well, what's my covenant relationship like at the moment? What's my relationship like with God here? You know, what's my commitment levels like? How humble and hungry am I? You know, sometimes in our, not always, but sometimes in our periods of anger and frustration with why God's not doing stuff, actually our relationship with God at that point is not always at its strongest. You know, and I've done it myself. It's like I feel like sometimes I take cheap shots at God for why he's not doing stuff and I'm putting nothing in. You know the old slot machine analogy that we've heard? You stick the minimal amount in to try and get the maximum amount out. You know, and it's like that sometimes. We go, where are you, God? And God's saying, well, I'm looking. Where's the commitment? I'm looking. Where's the strong relationship? I'm looking. Where are those people? And when our commitment fades, the problem is this, that we're not really giving God the opportunity or license to do what he really wants to do. God is eager to help. The Message version says this of verse 9, God is always on alert, constantly on the lookout for people who are totally committed to him. You know, there's many things I loved about our journey to Australia. But one thing I didn't was my kids got addicted to this program called Bondi Rescue, right? It's on TV. It's all right. It's the story of Bondi Beach in Australia, and it follows the story of the lifeguards who rescue people. But you know, as they're, what you see about it is all the time they're looking. They're never switching off. They've got their binoculars. They've got their lookout tower. They've got posts that they're along. They stand on the back of their vehicles. They're looking. Whenever they see something going on, they are poised, ready to respond. They like ridiculous amounts of rescues every day. But they're poised, ready. And that is the kind of picture here. God is like, I am looking. I'm not switching off, God said. It's not like I'm taking a glance. It's not like it's my weekend job. It's my full-time job. God says, I'm always looking. I'm on alert. In other words, I am ready to respond when I find commitment, when I find trust, when I find strong relationship. I am drawn, God is saying, towards humility and hunger, ready to go, ready to answer. And he doesn't want to miss it. He's looking for an opportunity. Just give God the opportunity to show himself strong. Give him that opportunity. John Piper says, God is eagerly and aggressively seeking to work for those who wait for him. So pride ties his hand, but humility releases them. And lastly, I just want to say this morning. Number three, our humility and hunger. If our humility and hunger has faded, it's our response to that that is key. You know, for me, one of the most challenging things about this story is that for 35 years, it was so good. I mean, this guy had walked with God for 35 years. That's a long time, right? But in his 36th year, humility and hunger had faded. Please hear my heart when I say this. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, it can happen. Even if it's been 35 years, something can sometimes happen in your 36th year or whatever, where your relationship with God can go cold and your humility and your hunger can fade. Your relationship. And as I said, I've been really challenged personally before God, for me as an individual and for us as a church, about our level of dependency upon God. Things like prayer are so important because they're an expression of humility. They're an expression of dependency. You know, so as I said, I sort of been saying this, you know, last night, at the end of the night, I said, I've got to step, I've got to pray. That's not to blow my own trumpet. This morning, you know, I've often got things I need to pray about. Just spending that time, God, I need you to come. God, I need you to speak this message in love. I don't want people to think I'm whacking them out of a pulpit. I want the Spirit of Christ to break through. I want the heart of God to come through. God, I need you to show up. God, I want pride to be broken. Pride is so sneaky and deceitful. And I know in my own life, you know, how it can be. It can sneak and away and hide in many different guises. You know, Rick said something to me the other day, you know, that he heard, you know, pride has many faces, but all of them are ugly. You know, and I think that that's really true. And I can spend so much time, not that I think it's wrong to prepare. Of course, you wouldn't want me to stand up here and not prepared anything. But, you know, I read a quote a while back from Tozer, and he said this, you can be as straight as a barrel theologically and just as empty as one spiritually. You know, I want to be full of God. So how do I respond when I feel the challenge? If you're sitting in your seat this morning, oi, God's just putting his finger on something here about my humility and my hunger levels. It's the next step, friends, that as I'm finishing up, it's the next step that's key. Because when Asa's heart was humble and hungry, in 2 Chronicles 15, verse 8, you'll read there that when God's message came to him at that time, he was really open, really soft, really receptive to what God was speaking into his life and that situation. And he heeds and he responds to what God is asking of him. But this time, when humility and hunger has faded and pride has crept in, although he might not have seen it as that, but pride has crept in. This time when Hanani brings God's word, he don't want to hear it. And he just says, lock him up, chuck him in a cell. It's like this. It's like, lock God's challenge away. I don't want to have to face that. And that's what pride says. Someone comes and they challenge us. And it's that next step. It's like, is my heart open and soft and receptive to this and saying, actually, yeah. Or in that moment, do we go, I don't want to hear that. Just pray, I don't want to hear that. I want to lock that challenge away. I just kind of want to put it to one side. I don't want to have to face it. You see, stubbornness can be a real symptom that humility and hunger has faded and that pride has somewhat crept in. When there's a stubbornness that just says, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to face that. I don't like being told that. And so what I really want to do is actually lock that away, push it to one side and not have to face it. But if pride and stubbornness creep into our relationship with God, then we're in all sorts of bother, because as it crept into Asa's heart, the next thing is that it's not just Asa who suffers, but in verse 10, it says he begins to mistreat those around him. Do you know that when we take up those decisions, it's not just us who suffer, but those around us? Mums, dads, in the family home, when we're challenging about our prayer lives and whatnot, that response is key because it impacts the next generation. It impacts, you know, as a church, as a leadership, our response to God is key because it impacts. And this response today is key. It is really key, because otherwise, if we make the wrong choices, it can lead others down paths where they end up feeling the repercussions of our poor choices and decisions, and they suffer as a result. And so there was this that was going on. But there was also this hardening, and this is what, you know, there's this hardening of Asa's heart. You know, and I think when humility and hunger fades, that happens. Hearts get harder. Before, when there's humility and hunger, it's open and soft and receptive. But when they're hardening up, it's like the word of God's not having any effect on me anymore, and I don't really want to hear it, and it's not really doing anything. And the further from God Asa went, the harder his heart got, until verse 12, when he's got this crippling disease in his feet, and he is seriously ill, the other versions say, seriously ill, and he's a dying man. Even though it was severe, it says, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. And of course he died. Now, was God saying it was wrong to have a doctor? No. Was God saying before it was wrong to have an army? No, it wasn't. That wasn't the issue about having an army, and it wasn't the issue about having a doctor. The issue was really this. Am I banking on them more than I'm hoping in God? More than I'm banking in God? Is my trust and my reliance more in those things than it is in God? Is my hope there? Is my reliance there? Is my dependence there? You see, in that first battle, Asa had an army. Yet he's on his face before God saying, I don't trust my army, I trust you. And I kind of feel if only Asa had remembered how God had proved himself to him in the past, how he had fought for him when he had trusted, how God had made it so clear he would do great things for him just if he simply trusted him, how God had been so good to him in the past simply because Asa had just cried out and trusted in God. But Asa's humility and hunger has faded. His heart has grew hard. And in the face of that battle and in the face of that sickness, what was God's greatest hope for Asa? I believe it was this, that Asa would turn again and trust him. That he might remember all that and he might place his trust. He might return back to a place of humility and hunger, but he hardens his heart. He doesn't face up to that. And things just kind of, well, they go from bad to worse. If only instead of ignoring that challenge and hardening his heart and locking it away, he'd repented and turned to God. God had proven to him how it could have been so different. Friends, Asa is a great example to us all of how God longs for humble and hungry people. People who trust him and rely on him. Remember what Andrew Murray said. Humility is the place of entire dependence on God. And so what is God asking of us today? Micah 6 verse 8. Andy, would you just come back for me, please? Just play something in the background if you wouldn't mind. Micah 6 verse 8. What is God asking of us today? And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Friends, it is a burning passion of my heart that we would go lower so Jesus would be lifted higher. That we would, as John the Baptist cried out, that we would decrease and he would increase. You know, when they came to John the Baptist, oh, John, don't you care what's going on? More going to him now. He just says, oh, it's what it's all about. John's like, I'm just here to point people to Jesus. It's about Jesus. That I would decrease and he would increase. The more we can grab something of this in our individual lives of humility and hunger, the more we depend on, trust in, rely upon him, the more we will see God do. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. God is looking for opportunity to show himself strong. And he is drawn with grace and favor towards humility and hunger. And so as Andy just played, I just want to just take a moment, just hit the pause button just here. Just close your eyes where you are and just allow God, just say, God, just search my heart. That's all I'm asking you to say to God this morning. Just where you're sitting. Say, God, just search my heart. God, if there's any pride in there. God, what do you really think of what our relationship's like right now? Just allow God that moment.